All right. Good morning, church. Come on now. Good morning. You can't sing like that and be in worship together. We got to have a little life in this place. I hope that you come to this time of gathering and leave cares and worries and the world behind and are able to come in here and experience renewal. I know that that's part of the reason that I come to church, and I hope that you experience that as you walk in the doors. We have a good time together. I want to thank the worship team for leading us today and putting in hard work to get us to a moment of just focus and concentration on who Jesus is and how great he is in our lives. We pray for transformation in this place. We pray for God's working in each and every individual as we come here. He wants to deal specifically and personally with everyone that is in this room. And so I hope that you are just locked in on what God has for you today. We got up this morning and rolled up here, had a great little drive coming up, and so excited to be with you. Tomorrow, I have 900 pastors and staff and church leaders coming into Little Rock, and we're having our big evangelism conference. And so I'm in charge of that. My mind is in 20 different places, and I don't know if you've ever been in a room with 900 pastors, but y'all be praying for me tomorrow because that can get a little tricky at times. But we're excited about it. It's going to be a great time of renewal for them. And so y'all just kind of keep that in your prayers if you don't mind. Great to be with you again. My name, for those of you kind of new this morning, started this last week, but just want to say again, my name is Warren Gassaway. I serve with Arkansas Baptist State Convention. State Convention, if you don't know, the 1,500 Southern Baptist churches in Arkansas partner together to do missions and evangelism. That's really what we're supposed to be about. And so we get to do that. We have a lot of different functions in the convention. I know it being Sanctity of Human Life weekend, one of the things that we get to do together is we partner and have crisis pregnancy centers all across the state. And so we're able to see a lot of ladies and children taken care of through that. That's just part of what we do. And so I work out of Little Rock and have some responsibilities there, but really am enjoying our time together in this place, okay? So if you would, take out your scriptures and turn to 2 Corinthians. Now, my understanding, and y'all are going to have to help me on this because I'm a little behind in some of these things, but on YouVersion, there's also some sermon notes as well. I don't know how to find it yet, but I use YouVersion, but I haven't really looked into this. So there's a couple of different places you can go. If you're looking in a physical copy of God's Word, 2 Corinthians, for those of you who are exploring the Bible, exploring church, exploring the faith, so honored that you are here this morning. 2 Corinthians is found in the New Testament. You actually go to the right-hand side of your Bible. You look for, watch this, 1 Corinthians. And then you flip a little bit later and you'll get 2 Corinthians. If you go too far, you'll run into Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, books like that, okay? While you're turning there, 2 Corinthians 4, excuse me, let's think about this thing this morning that we're doing called church. This is a unique body, a unique organization. I even hate using that word because that sure doesn't capture this. This thing that we call church, think about it for just a second. You've got up early on a Sunday morning, and you've come to this place in the cold of winter, and a lot of you are serving in various capacities in the church. We saw some of that on the announcements. We've seen it on the stage this morning. Some of you are greeting at the door. Some of you are serving as deacons. There's teams and committees that are meeting. We're about to have small groups right after church, and some of you are serving voluntarily and in those capacities. Think about all the things that are going on to make this thing, this body up that we call church. Week to week, you show up and you provide. Let's think about why for just a second this morning. Because sometimes in an interim process especially, we have to step back and we have to realize why we're here and why we gather together. And we're going to find this morning that because of King Jesus, we are a people on a mission. We're a people of purpose in this place. And when we lose sight of that mission and purpose, we lose sight of everything. And so let's talk about it. The noted architect, Sir Christopher Wren. He was building a cathedral in London way back in the day, and a journalist thought it would be interesting to go to the construction site and to just talk to the workers and find out why they were doing what they're doing. So he interviewed three guys who were on the construction site, and he just asked them the simple question, "What are you doing here?" And the first one replied, "I'm cutting stone, and I'm laying this stone for 10 shillings a day." Not a bad answer, and to be honest with you, that's a lot of us sometimes when we go to work in the morning. That's kind of us. I'm going in, and I'm going to put in my hours so I can get X amount of money to feed my family, et cetera, et cetera. He went to a second fella. He asked the same question. And this fella said, "I'm putting in 10 hours a day on this job just building these walls." Simple answer. But the third individual said something different. And listen to the difference in his answer. "I'm helping Sir Christopher Wren construct one of London's greatest cathedrals." See, he had a bigger vision, didn't he, of what they were doing in that place. It wasn't just work. It wasn't just labors. It wasn't just the hours. It wasn't just the wages. There was something that they were creating that was going to be so much bigger than that. So my question again for you is, why are you here this morning? Why are you here? Because to stay motivated, we're going to have to keep our eye on the prize that Jesus has set before us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's start in verse 16. Verse 16. "Therefore, we do not give up. Even though our outer person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day. For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory." Man, you might want to underline that phrase there. Eternal weight of glory. "So we do not focus on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal." Paul's saying here, we don't lose heart. That's what some of the translations. We don't give up. Now, think about that for just a second. When you lose heart, when you give up, that's when you're discouraged, right? That's when you are doubtful of where this thing is going. That's when you begin to look around and question, what direction are we actually moving? And you lose your passion when those things happen. Now, we can kind of easily apply that to an interim time, because sometimes without a point person, a pastor, shepherd who is leading out, sometimes those things begin to happen with us. But Paul says for believers, day by day, we can actually be renewed. And that's the true purpose of the Church of Christ, is to come here, understand what Jesus has done for us, and be renewed in that life that he offers, be renewed in the mission that he is giving us. There is a glory, Paul says, that is beyond anything that we can experience in this world, an eternal weight of glory. So we back up for just a second and move out of those doubts and those questions and the fears, and we begin to remember, okay, wait a minute, eternity is at stake here. Eternity is at stake for me. Eternity is at stake for my family. We just sang the lyrics there. Speak the name of Jesus for my family. And I promise you, there's moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters across this room who took that lyric very seriously. I want to speak the name of Jesus over my family, because eternity is at stake for my community. We can't forget those that are around us, this community called Pea Ridge. This is the place that God has for us to continue to speak his name and share the love that Jesus has offered, because your purpose here will affect people for eternity. That's a big thought to let sink in for just a second. I know it's just a regular Sunday morning in, where are we, January? But man, this is not a light thing. What we're doing today will actually affect people for eternity. So Paul says the secret is not giving up. The secret is perseverance. The secret is making it through. So if you're keeping notes with me this morning, write this down real quick. People with purpose don't give up. People with purpose don't give up. Now, can Paul really say that? Yeah, he can. Listen to what he writes just a little bit later in 2 Corinthians 11. Here's his experience as a Jesus follower, as a speaker of the gospel. He says in 2 Corinthians 11, five times I received the 40 lashes minus one from the Jews. In other words, beaten to death. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I received a stoning. Three times I was shipwrecked. I've spent night and day in the open sea. On frequent journeys, I faced dangers from dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers at sea, dangers among false brothers, toil, hardship, sleepless nights, hunger, thirst, often without food, cold, and without clothing. But oh, listen, church, don't give up. Don't give up. No matter what we face for the name of Christ, God is doing something day by day, and it is the life that we pursue. It's the gospel that makes us new. It's the gospel that changes and transforms people 180 degrees. Don't give up. It's worth it. Why? 2 Corinthians 4:14, just a little bit before us here. We know that God who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit. As God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. There it is. There's the purpose. There's the mission. We are forgiven and we are justified because God stooped down and came to a cross, and he bloodied himself on a cross, and he bore sin and shame. He bore death upon himself so that no man, no woman, no child would ever have to face death. He eternally comes and saves us from death and sin when we place our trust in him. Yes, your bodies are wasting away this morning, even as I'm speaking, and you're going, you have no idea if you don't hurry up. But our bodies are wasting away right now. Yes, you've come into this place, and your lungs one day are going to fail. Your brain is going to fail. Mine's failing currently as I'm up here. Your bodies are going to give out. Yes, you've come in here today, and the world is fallen. Look around. Wake up. Yes, you've come in here today, and there are relationships that are breaking in your midst. Yes, you've come in here today, and there is stuff going on. There are circumstances that are stretching you thin. Yes, there is trouble, but in the midst of every bit of that is something wonderful called the gospel of Jesus. And in the midst of this turmoil, you can walk with God because Jesus lived, died, and rose again. We can walk with God in every bit of this. Whatever you're facing today, we can walk with God. The gospel doesn't allow us to give up, folks. Henry Ford, you've heard that name many times. Here's the kind of perseverance he had. And this is just with a company. Back in, 1889, he established the Detroit Automobile Company. And he borrowed $150,000, a lot of money. It's a lot of money now, but a lot of money back then. Investors gave to him. It failed in a year. Went bankrupt. Most people give up. He started another company just a couple of years later called the Henry Ford Company, 1901. Guess what happened there? It went bankrupt, lost all of his investors' money again. Now, most people say that's enough, especially those investors, right? Third time. In 1903, the Ford Motor Company established, and this one, because of the Model T, because of the assembly line, this one saw tremendous success, and here we are 100 years later, and that company is still on the go. Progress is more about timing. Purpose is about determination. Paul says, when it comes to the gospel, don't give up. there are good things coming, better days ahead. So write this next one down. People with purpose, I didn't know exactly how to phrase this, but let's go with this. People with purpose do not fear being renewed. There's a lot to this. People with purpose don't fear being renewed. People with purpose don't fear change for themselves especially, but even the change that may happen in those circumstances that we're walking through. God is making something new. No matter how bad it looks, no matter how bad we may feel, the unfolding grace of God brings new days and new glory. We can be refreshed, it says here, day by day because of the glory of God that sustains this inner man, as it speaks of here in the scriptures. Our inner person is being renewed day by day. Our momentary light affliction is producing for us this incomparable eternal weight of glory. There's a weight of glory that's coming for those that don't give up. So every day, you and I are able to roll up out of that bed, put our feet on the floor, and realize God is in control. We can realize every day that there is hope because we're looking for God's glory. That in the midst of this, God will bring beauty out of these ashes. That God takes what is meant for evil and causes good. That there is actually a transforming power from a heavenly realm at work in lives, leading us to something that is bigger. When anything happens in our lives that is negative, the follower of Jesus, not because we're eternal optimists or are just kind of look at the world with rose-colored glasses and some, the followers of Jesus are able to look at things as not meaningless. Everything in life has this purpose. Now, even though tragic things happen and senseless things happen. And we've seen it even here recently in some of our family and friends. There's so much that's going on that we wonder, what in the world, God, are you doing? We get to take a look at that and say, God never wastes a pain. He never wastes a problem. Whatever we walk through, there's an eternal weight of glory that is happening because he's developing us in our faith. He's developing us as his children. He's giving us opportunity to speak his name. He's allowing us to understand that this world is super temporary, that what is going on around us is just for a season because eternity is the bigger picture. Eternity is the prize. When cancer comes and drains away our lives, it's not meaningless. When our hearts break and our dreams shatter, it's not meaningless. When parents struggle with their children and maybe some obedience and some things that are going on there, it's not meaningless because God has a purpose for pain and problems. God is moving. He's pushing us to grab hold of the only true life that is out there. It's the life that's found in Jesus. He's revealing himself. That's a different way of looking at tough stuff. He's revealing himself. Because it's in those bad times that we actually understand these little trite phrases that we use. God is my refuge. God is my strength. If you ever think about those terms, it doesn't say God will build me a refuge or God will bring around me some sort of strength. No, over and over in the scriptures, it says what? God is my refuge. The refuge is found in the very character of God. The comfort and the strength is actually found in the character of God. It is the character of God where we find those things. We often sometimes in a shallow, superficial way, we're like, God, bring something good into this. Bring me. No. He's moving us to his very character. And that's where we find him. Have you ever fasted from food? You ever spent some time hanging out? Obviously, I have many, many times. I know you can tell. after a few hours of just fasting, what, your energy begins to wane. If you go hungry, right? You can feel the hunger. You begin to function differently, and you start looking for anything that will just give you some oomph, right? Anything that will give you some energy. That's how it is when you fast from God. And if some of us were honest in the room today, we would say, yeah, I'm going through the motions of this church thing, but honestly, I'm on a fast from the Lord. I haven't really communed with his character in a long time. And you feel it. You know it. So some of us need to understand what Paul is saying here. To be renewed is to get to God, to feast on his goodness, to spend time in his strength. Fresh strength in your heart is available. So take this little test real quick. Take a little spiritual renewal test just real quick. Are you going to God? Are you looking for his purposes? I've got just a real simple little test for me. I've got this prayer book that I use, and I've been using for years and years. And listen, there's a bookmark there. There's one of those, this little stringy thing that comes up out of it. If that thing doesn't move in 2 or 3 days, I know it. Don't you? If that thing doesn't get changed to the next page day by day, renewed day by day, I know it. I think God would say to us, listen, don't give up. Get with me. I'll get you through. So write down this last thing here. People with purpose have a bigger vision. People with purpose have a bigger vision. What did Paul tell us to do here? He says to focus on the eternal, right? What Paul is saying is that the problems of life seem so heavy, the troubles come, but they're really just for a moment, that we're going to experience this eternal weight of glory. Set your mind, set your eyes, set your focus on something that is much bigger. People with purpose have a vision of eternity. We know that we're moving and we're working. That's the reason that you came this morning. That's the reason that you serve in these various capacities, is because we're going after something much, much bigger than this temporary life that we're in. There's a famous little story told of JFK, president, when they were in the midst of racing to the moon and trying to get folks up on the moon. He went to NASA and was touring the facility, and he actually came across a custodian who was sort of cleaning in that building, and he asked him the question. He said, what is it that you do here? And the custodian said, I'm putting a man on the moon, Mr. President, because it takes everybody. No matter the role, no matter what job you serve in this body that we call church, there is a bigger prize. There is a purpose in front of us, and we all are helping. I want you to think about this for just a second. Some of you are going to go to small groups in just a few minutes. And some of you small group leaders, let me just give you a little bit of encouragement for a second, because I know that gets into a sort of a little bit of a mundane routine, right? Sunday's coming. I got to figure out a lesson, figure out what I'm going to say. This is for some of you who work on Wednesday nights with children, with youth, things like that. It just keeps coming week after week. And I've got to come up with something to say that has, and a lot of times, let's be honest, we go into those small groups and we walk away and we think nothing of eternal significance just happened. Because most of the time, there's not fireworks and thunder and lightning and huge life change. Let's be honest. Now, sometimes that happens. Sometimes we walk in there and, man, it clicks. And you've got people in the room sometimes making 180-degree turns in their lives, which is awesome. But a lot of the time, it doesn't. But I want you to think about when you enter into that room and you speak the truth and you speak the name of Jesus, and you focus in on eternity, and you're helping people to see a bigger vision. If that person just makes a, in nautical terms, just a one degree little bit of change. If if just a little bit of a truth nugget gets embedded in that child's heart and life, if just a little bit of help comes to that adult that's in your small group, just to the point of maybe a 1 degree little bit of change, do you realize that it may not show up right now, but that 1 degree 10 years from now is huge. It's big. Every time you are offering the truth and the life of Christ, even little change to big change, it makes an eternal difference. This morning, you're sitting here under this spoken word, and you're like, man, I like that guy up there. He doesn't have much hair, but I like him. But I'm not really feeling this. I'm okay, because I've spoken the name of Jesus and his truth today. And even if you walk out of here just a little bit changed, that's the Holy Spirit of God moving you and me towards eternity. And that's what it's all about. So let me give you some practical applications just real quick of not giving up, of being new, being made new, having this bigger vision. And really, some of you think about it, especially in terms of this interim time for your church. Some of the leaders in the room who are having to serve on those committees, finding a pastor, transition team, finding a youth minister, those kinds of things. Number one, we need to surround ourselves with people of purpose. Now, a lot of us, boy, let that sink in, because this is serious. A lot of us walk out of here and we don't have enough ties to the church. Our ties are actually found in friend groups that are outside of the church or are tied in to people at work, etc., who have voices and opinions that really influence and affect us. But in order for you to have a mind and a purpose that is set in eternity, you've got to surround yourself with people of purpose who know Jesus and know the gospel and want to talk more about the bigger picture than small potatoes. Let me give you another word. In interim times, sometimes there will be a little bit of stuff that will creep in. Man, I wish we kind of did it like this. Now, maybe this is the time that we could change that, right? During the interim time, we begin to think, maybe we could structure it this way, or maybe I could have it this way, or maybe I could get to this. Listen, if it doesn't have to do with the gospel, it is of minute importance. So let's not get focused in on little things. Because, man, that's honestly, that's what the enemy wants. The enemy would love to come in and get us off purpose and off mission. A disunited team will never lead a united mission. So we stay united around the gospel. Find people who are on purpose, on mission. Latch on to those. Let them be the leaders, because they know what it's all about. Number two, if we lose the vision, it's going to mean trouble. So embrace kingdom vision. Embrace kingdom vision. Now, you've heard this over and over in church, and I hope we can apply it a little bit here. Without vision, people perish. Have you heard that before in church? It's been preached some. It's in the scriptures. It's a proverb. Without vision, people perish. But let's really apply that for just a second, okay? Last night, this morning, I noticed, just scrolling through some social media. There's something, and I don't know, so forgive me here. If I'm way off on this, forgive me. There's something going on in Atlanta. There was some rioting or some looting this morning, okay? Let's think about that. And we've seen it across the United States here, especially in the last few years. Why is that happening? Well, automatically in the room, people go, well, because people are sinful, or people have the wrong ideologies, or people are trying to destroy, things of that nature. And a lot of that can be true. A lot of that can be true. What I'm asking you to do is dig deeper. Why is that happening? Why do they feel the need to go? Well, some of you are answering, well, because there's a justice thing that's going on and it's inequitable in some ways, or it is, but it isn't. And you start having it. Hang on. Some of that may be worth arguing, but listen to me. Why is it happening? Dig a little bit deeper. When you see crime in neighborhoods, why are some people resorting to rob, shoot, loot? Let's make it personal. In your family life right now, if there's some sort of infighting or a breakdown, why is that happening? And we all just tend to think superficial. We tend to think, well, because this person said this and that person said that, and because he did this to me or she did that to me, and we go back. Go a little bit deeper. Why is it happening? A church, an interim time like right now. You're not. I walk through these aisles and I've talked enough with your leaders and your staff. You're not disunified. You're very unified. You love one another. But sometimes it happens. Why do churches get wonky? Why do churches get off kilter? Well, because this person wants to do this, or that person wants to, and this, there's this power trip thing going on, and this group of people wanted this. No. Dig a little deeper. It's lost vision. It's what the scripture says. It's when there is no vision that people perish. The vision of the gospel, the vision of eternity, the vision of things that really, truly matter. Why are those people, and I don't know what's going on, but why are those people rioting in Atlanta? There's no vision of what it's supposed to be like or where we could go as a nation. Why are families fighting? Why does it break down? We lose vision of the mission of the family. Because if the mission was there, and if it was honestly the trump card, the cheap thing, the primary, those little things would fade away. We got to stay on mission for our family. Why would a church disunify or fragment? Because we lose vision of our purpose. It is the gospel alone that is transformational. It is the gospel alone that changes lives. It is the gospel alone that makes this beautiful. It is the gospel alone that brings the glory of God. Everything else just doesn't matter as much. So write down this last thing here in application. Forgetting purpose will lead us to focus and even worship wrong things. So don't major on minor issues. Just some hard statements that sometimes need to be said in an interim process. And forgive me. I can say them right now because I really don't know you all that well, and none of you are thinking, well, he's talking to me. He's coming after me. No, I don't. Listen, I'm struggling with your names right now, okay? It's not you. Just some big statements that need to be said. But I did do pretty well this morning. I remembered a couple of people. It's not about your position in church. It's not. It's not about what you want. It's not. It's not your opinion that matters. Lovingly, I say that. It's not. It's not about our comfort. It's not. It's not about material things. It's not about buildings. It's not about money in the bank. It's not. It's about Jesus. Him alone. And if that's not at the heart and the center, we're in a mess. People will wander and drift. Don't allow it to happen. Be renewed day by day. Get close to God. In 1916, Albert Einstein, you know, he's the guy that created the theory of relativity. As an English major, I understand these things oh so well. Not at all. So what I'm about to say, just know, I have no idea what I'm talking about. He was working on the theory of relativity, and he forced himself to predict that the universe was expanding, and he hated that. He had this kind of like moral crisis going on, this dilemma. He did not want to face up to the fact that the universe was expanding. Why? Because then he would have to face up to the beginning. Where did it come from? If it's growing, if it's expanding, that crystal clear means there was a beginning point that he'd have to deal with. And he called it, he later called the idea his own idea. This is a man in his own head. He later called the theory of relativity irritating, which I think that's funny, because he would have to face up with the idea that there was a creator. Well, in 1927, another fellow by the name of Edwin Hubble, that ought to ring a bell, he had a telescope on top of California's Mount Wilson Observatory. And he was looking out through the telescope in 1927, and he saw an expanding universe. Here's how he saw it. He was able to observe what is called a red shift. And what that is the light coming in from other galaxies causing this red shift in the light spectrum, meaning that there was light now beginning to move away from you. And again, I don't know what I'm talking about, but it's conclusive, visible evidence that there is an expanding universe. So in 1927, he sees it. Einstein was just thinking about it. He sees it. Well, Einstein makes his way up the mountain. He goes up to the observatory 2 years later. He's looking through the telescope, Hubble's telescope, and he could no longer deny that the universe did have a beginning. He's going to have to deal with this idea of a beginner. He didn't realize it, but he saw the greatness of God. When we see God's greatness in the gospel, we can't deny it. It becomes primary importance. It becomes our purpose. When we see it, when we understand it, when it gets seated down here deep in our souls, in our hearts, even if you want to struggle with it, even if you're like, man, this is going to cause some big dilemmas for me, you can't deny it. You got to do something with it. And people of purpose who are following Jesus know that it is life. It becomes life. And that's why, if you're an unbeliever in the room, there are so many folks in here who are on mission with Jesus. Because even though failed and imperfect, they've seen and tasted that the Lord is good. Let's pray together. So a few questions for us then. We have to ask, are you being renewed? If you're a follower of Jesus today, and you've gotten a little lost in the purpose, a little lost in the mission, maybe you need to be renewed day by day and find the greatness of God in the gospel again. Hey, you can do that this morning in commitment, in surrender. Follower of Jesus, please don't let go of the rope. Don't give up. God has something for you. But it could be that you've walked in here today and you don't know who the Lord is. You don't know Jesus. Let me tell you something that he spoke to a group of ragtag fellas so many years ago. Something very simple. Guys that were just minding their own business, doing their own thing. Fishermen, you know that crowd. They just kind of hang out on their own, right? He came and stood in front of them, kind of unknown, and said, hey, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. And you know what they did? They dropped their nets. They got up and they followed. And it could be that Jesus is speaking to you today and saying, would you follow me? I'll bring purpose and mission to your life. Would you follow me? There's an eternal weight of glory. Would you follow me? I want you to taste and see the eternity that is before you. It is good. Would you follow me? You can do that today. Surrendering your life to Christ is very simple. God, I'm a sinner. I am far from you, and I need you. So I'm believing in what you did for me on a cross. I'm believing that you rose again, and I'm ready to follow. I'm coming after you. If that's you today, I'm going to be standing up here during this reflection invitation song. I want you to come. I'll share with you more how you can know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Would you come today? If you need to be a part of this body, we have a process to go through. We'd love to talk to you on how you can become part of a group of people who are on mission. Even in the midst of kind of weird times of not having a pastor, I promise you this church is on mission. They want the gospel spread in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. You come today, and I'll share with you how you can do that. Lord, we love you. God, you're so good to allow us to serve you, to be with you. God, you've changed our lives, and you're continuing to change our lives day by day. So renew us this morning in your great grace. Renew us in your gospel. Renew us in our mission. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Let's all stand. Let's pray.